I feel very inspired with the message today. I didn't know that it was going to be so close coupled with the Sunday school this morning. I'd like to write the title on the board. I think I got it spelled right. Voluntary sacrifice. I'd like to start in the second chapter of Philippians and the fourth verse. And before I start, I want to repeat what I felt like was a very poignant question that Brother Dion asked in Sunday school this morning that we really never got to. He asked the question, is faithfulness only doing what's required? Is faithfulness only doing what's required? And I'd like to think about that a little bit, challenge you a little bit this morning with that. I forgot my glasses and I'm reading blind, so if you could pray for me there too. Philippians 2 and 4. It says, make sure we're in the right spot, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I'd like to notice this morning that Jesus volunteered to leave heaven and come down to earth. He voluntarily laid down his life. He gave the ultimate sacrifice because of sin's hold on us. And he voluntarily laid down his life so that we could avoid the penalty of sin, which is death. Christ left the comforts of heaven to comfort a people that were in need of a shepherd and that needed comfort. He gave of himself that we might learn of him. When there was no other way for us to be able to gain insight into the spiritual realm, like the Lord wanted us to be able to have, Jesus Christ voluntarily was willing to come down from heaven, come down to earth, and give himself to us that we might learn of him. And as a volunteer, he said, even as a volunteer, even though he did not feel like that it was robbery to be equal with God, he believed that he knew that he was equal with God. He and God were one. And yet, he was willing to come down and become a servant to the created. The ones that he created, he voluntarily was willing to give up his life, give up his place in heaven, and come down to earth, become as a servant to the ones that he created, and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Isn't that a beautiful example for us to consider and think about in our own lives when we think about voluntary sacrifice? I'm thinking about voluntary sacrifice of our lives. It is one thing this morning to give because you have to give. It is another thing to give because you want to give. It is a far different thing to give from your heart. It is a far different thing to get past the requirement part. You are required to do this and go beyond to the next place, to the next stage, to a different space where we begin to voluntarily, from our hearts, give of our life. When I was a child, the first allowance that I received, I don't know if my parents want me to repeat this or not. The first allowance that I received was 75 cents. I was a young child. That's what we got, 75 cents. Once a week, three quarters on the kitchen table. Three quarters, three times. We all got the same. 25 cents of the 75 cents went to the Lord. Not my choice. Somebody else's choice. Here's 75 cents. This is your allowance. 33% of the take you take to Sunday school. You are left with 50. Well, that was our allowance. But you know, as time went on, I thought, 75 cents and 25 cents to the Lord, it sure would be nice if I just had 75 cents. We round that up to a dollar. I could give the 25 cents to the Lord and I could be left with 75 cents. And so I made a case sometime down the road. You know, y'all, if we could, various reasons here, get this up to maybe a dollar. You just give us each a dollar and we'll give 25 cents. We have 75 cents. And so eventually with time that happened. So we came in and there was a dollar and a dollar and a dollar. And then we gave 25 cents to the Lord. Not because I wanted to. Because I had to. So I gave 25% of what I was given and was left with 75 cents. Well, you know, it seemed to me like it would sure be nice if I could be left with a dollar for myself. A whole dollar for myself. And so as a little bit of time went by, I tried to make the case that, it would sure be nice that when the time all gets said and done and we give to the Lord, that I still have a dollar, a whole dollar to make some decisions around. And so out of the goodness of their hearts, it turned out that with some time, it was $1.25 and $1.25 and $1.25. And I gave 25 cents to the Lord. That's still, if you do the calculation, I think that's still 20%. And so I gave 25 cents to the Lord. Not because I wanted to, but that was kind of because I had to. And I was being taught to give. I was taught to give. But if you've noticed, there's a difference between giving because you want to and giving because you have to. There's a difference. And we can teach our children, and we should. We need to teach our children to give liberally. We started out 33%, down to 25, 20. But it was still giving a good portion of what we had. But you can't force and dictate to somebody that, and you will give it willingly. You will give it out of the goodness of your heart. You will give it because you want to give it. That's something that you have to get to personally. God wants us to get to the place where we learn to give voluntarily, a voluntary sacrifice from our heart, not because we have to, but because we want to. That offers up a sweet smelling savor to the Lord. The Lord recognized the need all the way back in the Old Testament. Recognized the need for mandatory giving. There were needs. There are needs today. It costs a certain amount of money to have a chapel. And if there isn't a certain amount that comes in, the lights aren't going to come on. There's certain required amounts that need to come in. And the Lord recognized way back in the beginning when the sacrifices were first instituted that there were some required sacrifices. And there were five general categories of sacrifices, maybe able to call them a little bit different things, but in general, there were five categories. There was a burnt sacrifice, which the whole sacrifice was burned, the whole entire thing, nothing left over. And it was a devotion, commitment to the Lord. Lord, I love you. I'm committed to you. There was a grain sacrifice. And it was a thanksgiving, provision of God sacrifice that He had provided it. And it was a representative, if you will, of a living sacrifice. And we could talk a long time about the sacrifices because there's so many comparisons, the Lord, types and shadows of what He set up, total devotion in our lives. We are a living sacrifice. The grain that grew, the Lord provided that, and then it was given as a living sacrifice. And then there was a peace offering. The third, a peace offering, which was also a thanksgiving sacrifice and a fellowship sacrifice. And then there were two others. There was a sin sacrifice, which was for sin, atonement, and defilement. And then there was a trespass sacrifice, the fifth one, which was also for specific sins that took place that required some reimbursement. Of these five sacrifices, three of them were voluntary. The Lord instituted this. He understood that there was a need for required sacrifices, but then He also instituted some voluntary sacrifices. And the burnt offering and the peace offering and the grain offering, they were voluntary sacrifices. But the sin offering and the trespass offering, you sinned. You have sin in your life. You trespassed against somebody over here. You did wrong. There is a mandatory to follow the law and be accepted under the law. You have to offer these mandatory sacrifices. But there was also some voluntary sacrifices that went with that, that the people could come from their hearts and offer up to the Lord a sacrifice to let Him know, Lord, we're committed to You. I want to also notice this morning that there was also another sacrifice that was given that I want to make mention of in Exodus, the 25th chapter. And this was a special time and something that was instituted, but I want to take notice of it. In the 25th chapter of Exodus, it was in the building of the tabernacle. Do you remember the building of the tabernacle? And it said, "And the Lord spake unto Moses," Exodus 25:1, "the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering," listen, "of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart." They were building a tabernacle for the Lord to dwell in. This is where God's Spirit was going to dwell. And what He told Moses, gave him the directions. He didn't say, "Moses, go out there. We're getting ready to build this tabernacle where my Spirit's going to dwell. And it is going to be mandatory that everybody bring 33% or 25% or 20% or whatever they made or earned this year to the building of the tabernacle." No, that's not what God did. God told Moses, "Speak to the children of Israel." And He said, "Tell them to bring an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. Ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them." And I won't read all of these, but they were beautiful offerings. They were good things. Silver and gold and fine linen and things that the Lord could be used in the building of the tabernacle. And so that was issued to the children of Israel. And I wish we had more time to look at this closer, but let's flip to the 36th chapter of Exodus. We're going to skip to how the end of the story goes. You remember how the end of the story, how it ended? In Exodus 36:5, "And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough This was willing sacrifices. The people bring forth much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses, listen, and Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed. Don't ever remember hearing a proclamation like this in the Bible. They caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, "Let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offerings of the sanctuary." So the people were restrained from giving. Have you read that anywhere? Do you see that in life? Very, very often, the people brought so much to the building of the tabernacle that they finally got to the place and said, "Stop! That's enough! Don't bring any more of these valuables." And they weren't bringing trash. They weren't bringing the leftovers. They'd already specified, here are the things that we need. They were good things. They were beautiful things. They were needful things. And yet, even with that, Moses got to the place and told Moses, "Tell the people to stop. We have way enough. We got everything we need to build the temple." That is striking to me. It causes me pause as I think about my own life. This is where God's Spirit was going to dwell. And it seemed like that the people caught a vision. They caught a vision of being a part of something that was so much greater than themselves. They caught a vision of something that was more than just what I have that I can use for myself. But they caught a vision of, oh, it's for the tabernacle. It's where God's Spirit is going to dwell. And they gave of their hearts, and they gave willingly, and they gave abundantly to please the one, to help build a tabernacle that would be fit for the Spirit of God. But consider, what are we? What are we today? What does the Scripture say that we are? Didn't Paul say in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you"? You're the temple now. I'm the temple. You're the temple. And do you think this morning that God would have us as the living temple of God, where His Spirit wants to dwell? Do you think that He wants us to just give the minimum? Do you think that if back in the Old Testament the people caught a vision of giving willingly and abundantly, not required, but from their hearts, to the place that God's Spirit was going to dwell, and then now I'm the temple and you're the temple. What do you think smells sweet to God in how we give? Do you ever wonder why maybe our blessings are minimal? Did you ever wonder why maybe sometimes people don't have the power in their lives that they would like to have spiritually? How are we giving? Are we giving just because we have to? This is what's required? Or have we captured a vision of the place that God would have us in His work and in His body and in the church, and capture a vision of something that's well bigger than who I am as an individual? And I say, "Yes, Lord, I'm going to start giving from my heart. I'm going to give willingly and abundantly and in service to you." There's power that's associated with that. There are blessings that come with that. And this morning, I want to make this very clear. This message is not about how much money you're putting in the offering box in front. That's not my message this morning. Now, it is true. It has something to do with it. If we give monetarily, if we give just the minimum amount that we think that we have to give to be able to be categorized as a Christian, well, that's probably That's probably about the extent of the blessing that you'll get from the money that you give. But my thought this morning goes way beyond whatever it is we put in the offering box. I'm thinking about something way beyond that because here's what I think. I think that this is a trap that we can get into if we're not very careful, where we can get into this mode of all of a sudden our experience takes on more of a form of a religious form and denying the power thereof versus willingly living and giving to the God that we serve. Consider. We're taught from a young age that our reading and prayer life is important. If you're going to be a Christian, if you want to be a Christian, parents will teach you, well, you need to take time to read and pray. I know that. I can't be a Christian without reading and praying. But I offer this up to you. If what we do, if the practices in our lives, in our reading and prayer life, that the Lord is taking notice of, if our practice is to do a little bit of reading, it's like, I read today, and we do a little bit of praying, just a little bit of praying, so that I can say, well, I did my reading and praying, and Christians read and pray. And if you want to be a Christian, well, that's something that has to be incorporated in your life each day. And well, I did it. My token reading and praying. How much blessing do you think you're going to get from that? If that's our approach, what do you think will come from that? How about if we go before the Lord and we get past just wanting to do a little bit of reading and praying so we can say we did our reading and praying. But we go before the Lord and we say, Lord, I want to know what your word says. Lord, I want to get a hold of what the Word of God says for me. And we go before the Lord in prayer and we pour out our heart before the Lord. And we say, Lord, help me to be filled with your Spirit. Lord, help me to know how to make decisions in life. Lord, help me to know how to serve others better. Help me to know how to be a light to the world. Lord, I want to get a hold of you. I want you to talk to me. Lord, in my life, you will find a blessing so much further beyond whatever it was you received from just going about trying to do the whatever reading and praying you think you have to do that's required as a Christian. May God help us. He's not asking us to spend, 12 hours a day, 10 hours a day, 5 hours a day, poring over our Bible and on our knees on our bed. But He wants a people who has a heart and a spirit to understand what the Word of the Lord says. He wants to have a people who are interested in being connected to Him. Willing sacrifice is the message this morning. Willingly give it. Lord, I give you my time to do this. What about our contribution in the church service? We've talked about that before. We've been taught, the Scriptures teach us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Especially as we see this day approaching. We need each other. We need to be here. God wants us to assemble ourselves together and come to church. He wants us to be in the church and draw encouragement from each other and encourage our fellow brother and sister. He wants us to share the things that His Spirit gives us. He wants us to come into the church of God, and even if we don't say anything with our lips, if we could come in with a heart of worship. A heart of worship where we're not just here because Christians go to church. You see the difference? We can say, well, Christians are supposed to go to church. So, well, I'm going to go to church because that it's Sunday and Christians are supposed to go to church and so I'm here. And so we're here in body, but we're not here in spirit. Well, what kind of blessing are we going to get out of that? Well, what is our contribution when we come to church service? Or do we expect everybody else to do the feeding and then we just come and we're just here in body, we're just taking up space? Or do we come to church with a spirit of expectation? Lord, I want to get something for my soul. Lord, I'm coming to church because I want to come in contact with your spirit and I want to get a hold of something that I need in my life to challenge and encourage me. And Lord, if there's any way that I can be an encouragement to somebody else, Lord, I want to do that too. And so we have alive people that come to church and that are here in the congregation and that are alive and they're seeking and they have a spirit of expectation and they have a expectation that when they go out the door, they go out different than when they came in. And that not only did they leave something, but they were able to take something. You see how big of a difference that is. Then if we just say, well, it's Sunday, I'm coming to church, it's time to go to church, I'm a Christian, Christians go to church, and I'm a faithful churchgoer. People say, well, are you a Christian? Yep, we go to church every Sunday. Going to church every Sunday isn't going to get us into heaven. Going to church every Sunday is a good place to be. But God wants a willing, He wants voluntary, He wants willing sacrifice. He doesn't want us just to do things because we have to, but He wants us to do it because we want to, and He wants us to go beyond what we may try to figure out in our own minds, what's required. Have you ever heard anybody say, well, is it really required? Do I have to do that? Well, that's a good question to ask. I've asked that before, Lord, Paul said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? I want to know what God wants me to do. Don't you want to know what God wants you to do? But you know that sometimes we ask that question because we're looking for the angle of what we can get by with. Is that really required? Do I really have to do that? Does God require that to go to heaven? The answer might be no. No, he doesn't, but it might not be a bad idea to do it. Might be a pretty good idea to think about maybe getting into this space. Maybe there's something there that God has for you that's not just required for everybody else, but maybe He's dealing with your heart and what might be voluntary and the Lord looking for a willing sacrifice today. If we don't listen to that and we don't give ourselves to that, we will end up at the end of the way as the five foolish virgins who ran out of oil because they got too stuck on just doing the required things. And there's no voluntary piece of it. They're not alive. They became dead in their souls. I don't want to be in that place. What about our service to other people? So, well, they smiled at me and I'm a Christian, and so I didn't frown at them back. I smiled back because Christians are supposed to smile when other people smile at me, and I didn't frown at them. You know, they spoke nice to me, and I spoke nice to them back. That's good. That's what Christians are supposed to do. But what about our willing service to other people? What about living our lives where we begin to think about, Lord, what would you have me to do in how I can go out willingly? Maybe the Bible doesn't say, thou shalt do this. But Lord, what can I do so that I can go out and willingly and voluntarily sacrifice my life for the good of the church of God? For the good of helping people. See the difference? What about what we give to God in the time and space that we create in the little bit of time that we have each day? The days, I don't know about you, but my days go by really fast. My weeks go by really fast. The months go by really fast. And it is so easy for us to delay and defer service. sacrifice. Because it seems like there's so many mandatory, required things that we feel like we need to do in life. And we do have responsibilities in life. But how important is it to us to get to the place where we say, capture a vision like the children of Israel did. Say, Lord, I want to do something more than just what maybe would be considered the required. We reap what we sow in abundant measure. Both ways. You sow just a little bit, and you reap a whole lot, whether it's good or whether it's not good. I don't want to forget that. I think about the parable where the Lord said that at the judgment, He separated the sheep from the goats, remember? And do you remember what it was that He said were attributes, behaviors, actions of the sheep? What was it? What had they done? What did He talk about? What did He focus on? Service to other people. He said, well, I was naked and You clothed me, and I was thirsty and You gave me to drink, and I was sick and You visited me. And now here's what's striking to me. Nowhere in the Scriptures does it say, here's how much water you need to give to the thirsty. This is how often you need to go out and give clothes to those that are naked. Here's what you need to do in visiting the sick. It's not prescribed. There's nothing in there that says, mandatory, if you're going to make it to heaven, you have to do it just like this. I haven't found it. Maybe you have. I haven't seen it. However, the Lord sure did understand who was the sheep and the goats. And He was pretty clear when He separated them out. He said, you did these things. And here's what else strikes me. Those that were separated to the right, they were kind of confused by it all. They were like, Lord, I don't remember doing that. When did we give You to drink? When did we visit You? We don't ever remember seeing You. When? And the Lord said, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these My brethren, you've done it unto Me. They didn't even really realize the extent and the blessing that was associated with what they were doing. Perhaps they thought it was little things. Because the Lord said, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, My brethren, ye have done it unto Me. But they were giving willingly. It wasn't necessarily specifically prescribed, but from their hearts, they reached out a little bit here. Maybe it's just a little bit. The enemy can get us thinking, well, if you're gonna, you gotta have the capability to do these big things. No, life is made up of little things. There's some big things along the way. There is. But most days are made up of a little bit here, a little word of encouragement here, a little smile here, a little bit of expressed concern from the heart here, a little bit of giving over here. And over time, the Lord looks at that and He esteems it highly because it's coming from our heart. I want to live that way. Don't you? Think about Zacchaeus and the Good Samaritan. We're running out of time. But Zacchaeus, he came in and he had a great need in his life. But he was one of the happiest men you ever saw. Lord never told him what he needed to do. Zacchaeus said, I'll tell you what, if the people that I've done wrong, I'll restore them fourfold and the half of my goods. I'll give to the poor. And he was happy and joyful. And the Lord was just back there watching it all. And he was happy too. And he said, today salvation has come to your house. And the Lord went away happy with Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus was happy with himself and with the Lord because salvation came to his house because he captured the value of this. Lord, what exactly do I have to do to be saved? I mean, if I took from somebody, can I just give him back? How much interest do I have to give him? I mean, what? No, he was sold out to being where God wanted him. And I want to reiterate again this morning, don't let the enemy try to tell you that what's preached about is these big, grand things in life. that are beyond the talents that God has given you. He's not asking you to give beyond the talents that you have. We're not going to all give the same. We don't all have the same, but He's given you something. And He wants us to share it. And so this morning, are we living like we're living because we feel like we have to? Or is it because we're living like we're living because we want to? The associated blessings are not the same. They're not the same. Do we live just to comply with a set of religious expectations? This gets close, folks. I'm going to say that again. Are we living our lives? The things that we do each day. Are we living our lives to comply with a set of religious expectations? Are we living our lives to comply with a set of people's expectations? Or are we living our lives because we want to further our relationship with God in heaven? Because we love Him. Because we want to give to Him. That is the driver and the purpose of what it is that we're doing. What if we were able to go up into the eternal realm, into God's realm, and what if there were five bins and it had your name on it? Rods, five bins. And it had the burnt sacrifices, and it had the grain sacrifices, and it had the peace offerings, and it had the sin offerings, and it had the trespass offerings. Five of them. And I wonder if we were to go up there and take a peek inside to see what was in there. Well, the sin bin's pretty big. I had a lot of those, and I came to the Lord and asked for forgiveness of those sins. And then I go over to the trespass offerings, things that I've done against other people maybe, and have I made them right? Maybe the bin's a little bit less, but maybe it's full too. We realize we've got to do that. We've got to make it right. We did somebody wrong. We'll make it right. But what happens when we walk over to the other three bins and I take a peek into the total devotion bin, the burnt offering bin, and I look in there and I go over to the living sacrifice bin, look in the grain offering bin, and take a peek in there, and the peace offering, voluntary sacrifices. What would you be pleased with it? Is the Lord pleased with it? I just want to say today, I personally am challenged by this. This message isn't just for you. This message is for me. I feel very challenged by this message that I felt like God especially gave me. I'm challenged this morning to dig deeper in these areas, in my walk with the Lord, in my marriage, in the church family, people that I run into on the outside that need help, help in their souls, help in their lives. I want to dig deep. That saints, those are the spaces where God's blessings will abundantly be found. Living in this space, voluntary sacrifice from our heart, that is where marriages prosper. It's where friendships flourish. It's where we are able to touch those that are out in sin that need something in their lives, and they are drawn by unmerited love and attention. And it is where I personally can be able to tap into those wells of water that spring up from my soul, originating from the Holy Spirit of God, where I can too say and raise my hand and say, the blessings of the Lord, they do maketh rich. May we be challenged and encouraged this morning that we would give as dear children to a Father who has voluntarily given so much to me and to you. May we worship God not just through mandatory, required sacrifices, but through willing service from our heart. That is where we will find the richest blessings of life and of the Father. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.